everyone. Welcome back to Coaching with Carrie live here on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Friday. Hope you all had a wonderful and productive week. And today we're talking about tactic number 12 out of the book called Shift, How Top Real Estate Agents Tackle Tough Times, New York Times bestseller, written by Gary Keller and his team, Dave Jenks and Jay Papasan. And as we've talked about before, this particular book is going to help you no matter if you're in a shifting market or not. By the way, shifts happen all the time. Even if it's just your normal seasonal shift, you still, as a real estate agent and real estate business owner, are dealing with shifts in the market continually. So whatever you can do to employ these tactics as soon as possible, not only going to help you in any market, and in a thriving market, you're going to be the top agent, right, because you've employed these. And then when the market shifts, you're going to be able to not only survive but also thrive when others are not going to be able to keep their heads above water. So you should be looking through this book. You should read this book if you haven't. If you are just joining me now for the first time on Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie, we have been working through this entire book as this particular coaching series. So we've gone through all of the tactics, one all the way up now until today, which is tactic 12. So you can go back and listen to those recorded versions right here live on my particular Blog Talk Radio platform. All you need to do is search for Coaching with Carrie, and you'll be able to go back and listen to all of the recorded versions, which are about 20 to 30 minutes long each, so not too difficult to listen to, and you can do that easily on your drive home or into work in the morning, et cetera. So hopefully you'll go back and listen to all those and take them seriously. Start making notes. What have you employed already in your business, and what do you need to do to make sure that your business is bulletproof, so that you can thrive in any market, in any shift, at any time of the year, in any season. The goal, of course, would be that seasonality doesn't even you know, mean anything to you anymore. And there are many top teams that have been able to truly employ all of these things so that their business just doesn't change much throughout the year. And that would be and should be everybody's goal, I would imagine. By the way, I've done a variety of coaching series on Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie. So you can go back and you can listen to all of the coaching sessions on the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book, which is fantastic for anybody building a business, not only inside real estate, but other industries as well. It truly will be how you'll build a successful business if you're an entrepreneur. I've also done some things that I think would be very appealing to anybody in any industry, called the Six Personal Perspectives. Really, what mindset do you need to be in, and what do you need to do personally to be able to grow your business professionally? And of course, the book, the one thing that is just getting raving reviews and has been on, you know, bestseller lists for like 19 times in a row now. By the way, I'm going to be starting to do some workshops, but that book is amazing in terms of just personally, professionally, spiritually, physically being able to really simplify your life and get the best results possible. And all of these are on Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie, and they're all recorded from past sessions. So I hope you'll take advantage of them. And if you are listening into any of these sessions, or even going in and listening to the recorded versions, all you have to do is reach out to me, and I'm happy to get you a copy of any of these books. And you'll get one for free from me. All you need to do is reach out to me. So go ahead and look for me on Coaching with Carrie on Facebook, and you can message me there. You can, of course, tweet me. My Twitter handle is CarrieHKW, or you can email me at CarrieH@KW.com. Let's move right into tactic number 12, bulletproof the transactions, issues, and solutions. And as Abraham Lincoln said, if he had 8 hours to chop down a tree, he'd spend 6 sharpening his axe. The point is that you really need to make sure that you are prepared, that you have preparation. And so I love that this book really is talking about preparing yourself and your business for any market, and that's the most important thing, is that you need to be thinking about it now, so as things change, you're way ahead of the game. And like we've talked about throughout this coaching series, shifts can be maddening. If you've ever been a real estate agent, entrepreneur, business owner in a shifted market, or when a seasonality has been really maybe more noticeable than other times, you know it's maddening. Just when everything seems to be going right, all of a sudden, you know, things will go wrong. And typical transactions just are pretty much atypical in a shifted market, right? There really isn't a typical transaction anymore. Anything settled can quickly become unsettled. There's a lot of volatility. And with, you know, more unusual than usual, the expected and unexpected frequently turn up together. And it feels just like the one thing you can count on is not counting on anything in a shifted market. So nothing works out like it once did, and nothing goes like it used to go. And real estate transactions aren't particularly trouble-free in any market, right? But when a shift happens, few sales are easy and almost all closings have a challenge. It's a strenuous and trying time that requires all the attention and effort that you can command, and you truly work for every sale and its successful close, which makes this market especially tough is the apparent willingness of buyers to walk away at any point in the sale. And so when everyone believes the market is headed up, buyers are afraid of missing out. When everyone believes the market is heading down, buyers are afraid of sinking with the ship. Both markets are driven by the fear of making a mistake. That's the bottom line. But while one drives buyers to hold deals together at almost any cost, the other drives buyers to allow deals to fall apart for almost any reason. It can almost seem like buyers are actually seeking a way to undo the deal. In a shift, this often makes closing any sale demanding and difficult, right? And we've all been there. We've felt it. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, right? Reluctance and concern usually don't go away just because a contract is signed, right? So when the market shifts, buyer concerns often linger to some degree all the way to closing and possibly for months afterwards. So buyers are simply more open to any opportunity to rethink, to renegotiate, or even to break their contract. As they listen to the media, their fellow coworkers, their friends, their family, buyers are likely to question their own judgment. Then they begin to look for any crack in the contract or, of course, any opening in the process to just walk away. So many start to wonder if there's a better buy elsewhere or if there's still a way to make their buy a better deal. And to complicate things further, if there isn't an obvious and natural route to unravel the sale, some might create an exit strategy. In other words, no sale is safe until it's sealed at closing with everyone's signatures. So how do you bulletproof the transaction? Gary Keller, remember, in his book, he talks about when he remembers when he really learned his lesson about getting contracts to close. It was his first year in business, and after selling 6 homes and closing 5 of them his first month, he went to 5 straight months with no closings at all, and he made sales during that period, in fact, at least 2 a month, but none of them actually closed, and the market had shifted down, and his selling skills hadn't scaled up to basically assist in that shifted down market. So he'd assumed that all buyers and sellers truly needed just an honest real estate agent with integrity who was willing to provide them the absolute best service possible. And he was still right, but he had overlooked one important detail. They also needed a salesperson. And he had been a real estate agent, but he also needed to be a real estate salesperson. And so that was one of the biggest ahas of his young career, was he realized that total clarity that he not only had to master the transaction, but he also had to have sales skills that went with a successful transaction. So he understood one but not the other, and found out himself in a shift without the necessary skills to pull him through. So he backed up, thought about the transaction, and decided how he'd handle each key point where something might go wrong. So he got clear on what might happen and how to handle it, and began to see ways to anticipate problems and head them off in advance. He wasn't going to get caught unprepared again and let his buyers and sellers down, right? So in fact, he was going to be over-prepared and ready for anything, and then things changed for him. Those events that were previously unforeseen, he learned to see coming and how to handle them, and those people he assumed were getting the job done, now he was checking on, right? And he learned that any transaction that can come together can also come apart, so he learned to bulletproof the transaction. And so I think this is when he says he actually became a true professional real estate salesperson. He was now using lead generation skills for a career and selling skills for his customers' well-being. And as a result, not only did his year change, but his career moved and changed as well forever. So in that 7th month, he started keeping deals together, finished with a flurry, and before 12th month, had hit all of his first-year financial goals, rewarded himself with some well-earned time off, right? But he wouldn't have been able to do that if he wouldn't have figured out what he was missing in his skill set. So as determined as he was to succeed, that string of disappointments taught him some serious financial and emotional costs as well that his customers would pay when deals fell through, right? And I think we all feel as realtors really, really responsible for that, right? So he also learned that no one else is going to do your due diligence for you. It's entirely up to you to oversee your contracts from start to finish. You have to be good at both ends of the sale, making it and closing it. The key is to remember this simple truth. You do your deals heads down, but you save your deals heads up. Let me repeat that. I love it. You do your deals heads down, but you save your deals heads up. Heads up is about seeing what's coming. It's about being prepared to act. In his experience, there are 4 ways that you can think about what might happen in any professional endeavor. Nothing will go wrong. Anything could go wrong. Something will go wrong, or everything will go wrong. And interestingly enough, it's not about whether any of these approaches is right or wrong, nor is it about predicting the future. It's about being prepared to deal with whatever the future might bring. So many agents, like Gary, in their first few months, who naively think nothing will go wrong, are very surprised and often disappointed when something does. And they usually aren't ready to deal with it quickly. So for them, what goes wrong usually stops the sale from closing. Those who understand that anything could go wrong or even that something will go wrong are better prepared to handle unpleasant surprises. But because of this approach, they may not be ready to take care of them, right? So sometimes things work out okay and sometimes they don't. And over time, they'll learn from experience, but along the way, they will still have a fair amount of sales that don't close. So in Gary's experience, it is best to practice as if everything will go wrong. I know it sounds pessimistic, but it really isn't. It's the one way to be sure that you will be ready to deal with whatever happens. You'll be positioned to not only respond effectively to things when and if they go wrong, but you will stand a great chance of preventing them from happening in the first place, right? And so Gary's co-authors, Dave and Jay, often comment that Gary is the most black-hatted optimist they know. What they mean is that Gary believes anything is possible in any direction, and he strives for the possible, but he goes after what he wants to have happen, and yet he prepares for the worst and is ready as things will go wrong. And I know that when things go wrong, he'll be prepared if they do, right? It's why we carry insurance. It's why, he has learned to bulletproof transactions. So problems may or may not come at any particular time, but over time they will come, and they just do. And in a shift, they typically come more often than not. So when it comes to bulletproofing the transaction, take the everything will go wrong approach and keep your head up. Remember, you can predict exactly what can happen, but you can't predict what might happen. And assume everything will go wrong and come up with ways to possibly prevent them from happening or effectively deal with them if they do. You won't be surprised when the problems show up, and you won't be surprised when they go away. So here are the six issues. Bulletproofing transactions begins with fully understanding where things can go wrong, right? And so the six major issues in getting from contract to close are these things I'm going to talk about next. These are the moments of truth that put transactions at the greatest risk. Knowing these is critical, but also knowing the certain ways in which they can go wrong is equally critical. Above all others, you are the person most responsible for getting a sale to a successful closing. So think of yourself as not only the one who makes the sale, but also the one who makes sure it's ready to handle and, better yet, prevent any and all mishaps that might arise. So the six bulletproofing the transaction issues and solutions. Here we go. Right? Inspections and repairs. Inspections and repair negotiations are a standard contingency in literally all real estate contracts, right? The buyer's final acceptance of the contract is normally contingent on a satisfactory inspection and agreed upon handling any of the repairs, right? So recommend as short a timetable as possible for your property inspection to be done and for the repairs, if any, to be agreed upon and completed. Don't let this drag out, you guys, because time is always of the essence and you want to keep things moving forward and everybody prepared for closing. It's always wise to put repair limits or allowances in a contract, and this will help keep any further negotiations within potentially workable boundaries, right? And be sure to attend the inspection, preferably to get the home sold. Lenders are trying to, reasonably anticipate the market to manage risk for their investors. And this means appraisers are usually under increased pressure from the lender to be sure that the home is not overpriced. And in a shift, fewer homes will appraise. Those that do will require more attention and research from the professionals in the transaction. And the best way you can help the process is to offer to provide your research to the appraiser, to let them know how you came to your professional conclusion about why the home was worth what your buyer offered. And the appraisal process is, of course, intended to be very independent of you or the needs of your client. However, your detailed research can help them justify an appraisal that meets the sale price. While one done with less data maybe would not. Even if you're representing the seller, you may want to update your own CMA of the property and provide that data to the appraiser. If there are special circumstances involved in the sale, seller contributions to closing, seller seconds, or the inclusion of personal property, the appraiser may want to take that into account when determining market value of the property as well. And there's another area where mortgage company selection can make a difference, right? Some lenders allow you to contact the appraiser direct. Everything else being relatively equal, you would prefer to work with a lender who would have either they can talk to the appraiser or you can, somebody who can have more communication. And when you know the lender and mortgage processor, it can make a big difference in how your CMA data is used and how responsive they are to an appeal of an actual appraisal if you ever have to go down that path. And to really protect the transaction, you may want to prepare a backup plan if the house doesn't appraise for the sale price or loan amount, right? You can guide the buyer in finding funds to use for the additional down payment that will get them to loan to value ratio to a place that's acceptable to a lender, given the reduced appraisal of the market value. Or if you represent the seller, you can have them already make a contribution to closing costs to provide a seller second. In any case, it becomes very important to track the loan application, appraisal, and approval process and to know what is happening every step of the way. Another thing that I'd like to bring up in regards to, appraisals and inspections, right, is basically that, and more to the inspection side, is that even looking at a seller-paid home warranty or asking your buyer to look at it, purchasing a home warranty can really, really help on that inspection side as well. And that makes people feel more comfortable moving forward in regards to anything that might come up during that inspection period. You know, if you're working with the buyer, obviously you need to talk to them about what's important in an inspection, what they should really look for, and then maybe that in that home warranty helps them to kind of let go of those other things. But sellers also need to be prepared that any buyer will most likely ask for some repairs to be done, so you might want to have that conversation up front with them as well. Always, you know, have great inspectors that you can refer. You need to be careful about that. If you refer multiple inspectors, you know, you should be safe in terms of your referrals, but you want people who are great at their job, who are really going to be looking out for your clients. And some of those companies, again, same thing with home warranty companies. If you've got some good relationships and these home warranties really are good for your clients, it is really a good thing to be able to bring these things forth, because it will really help, I think, to help the transaction move through when we're talking about inspections and repairs and appraisals. So let's move forward to loan approval and funding, because that's going to be another main issue, right? So you're going to want to encourage buyers to apply for a loan before they, of course, find a home. You need to do that. You shouldn't be out running around showing properties if somebody's not willing to be approved. It's simple logic, right? But a lot of people don't do it. So the moment they decide to buy is the moment they should submit an application to a loan officer, a lender, or even before that. It's also the safest strategy to ensure they're pre-approved and that you can make a qualified offer on their behalf. You should never make an offer if they aren't approved first. So buyers often make the mistake of believing that they must have a specific home in mind first, and that's, of course, counterproductive and counter-successful thinking. So help them through that process. So moving through that loan application process early is the most productive and obviously the most successful. We all know that. Pre-approved buyers that are qualified for a certain loan amount are subject to finding a property are the ones who can obviously move most quickly, especially if there were multiple offers or if there was some other interest. And knowing in advance how much they can afford, these buyers don't run the risk of finding the perfect home, only discover it's beyond their financial reach, of course, which is not what we would want to do for them. So make sure you make that happen. Any gift letters, contributions to closing costs, co-signers obviously need to be in place. We need to know about that before writing an offer. And these elements are paramount in a shift. Remember, if you are not out in front of this process, the buyer is already behind before they ever get started, and the transaction's already at risk. So more than with any other vendor in the transaction, selecting the mortgage provider is really critical. It begins with knowing who is good and who has a proven record of performance, and better yet, if that proven performance has been with you, then you must assert yourself to be sure that they are chosen or that they are looked at as an option. If you're working with the buyer, explain the benefits of working with these known professionals. If they insist on, of course, using somebody that they already know, that's fine, but you're going to want to get into some kind of relationship with that that loan officer, that mortgage company, so that you feel comfortable, right? So even if you represent the seller too, you want to be assured that the buyer's lender can and will perform, right? So you may insist on, a pre-approval letter, but maybe even something that shows that they've gone through underwriting or that some things have been done further along the way than just a basic pre-approval. In the end, you may want to run a parallel application with someone that you know and trust just to make sure that you feel like this pre-approval is trustworthy. Remember, it's even more catastrophic to the seller when a transaction falls out just before closing than a buyer even. They've already had their home off the market. They may have purchased another home. They've maybe moved out. Financial non-refundable earnest money deposits can also reduce the likelihood of a buyer walking away from the purchase contract. If you represent the seller and are providing a major concession to the buyer, you may want to treat it like an option they only receive if they back it up with some additional non-refundable earnest money. That's just an FYI. The reality as we're moving through this is, of course, there are a lot of things in the way of mortgage funding. You are not that expert, but if you're working with somebody who is, that's going to really, really help bulletproof any issues in the transaction from that perspective. So we've talked about inspections, repairs, we've talked about appraisals, we've talked about loan funding, mortgage funding as obviously possible issues. And now let's talk about other contingencies. So arguably any agent's two favorite words are all cash, right? Transactions with no or fewer contingencies, all cash, as is, non-dependent on another house to sell, et cetera, tend to be our easiest and most reliable. But in reality, these types of transactions are few and far between no matter the market. Plus in a shifted market, they tend to be pretty much non-existent. So the goal is to have as few contingencies as possible with short timetables for clearing them. This is why you recommend pre-approved buyers and pre-inspected properties. Like I talked before, if you pre-inspect the property and add a home warranty to it, it can really help move things along. In a buyer's market, it's also wise for the buyers to get their house sold or at least under contract before they make an offer to buy their next home, so it puts them in a stronger position to make an offer that is attractive to the sellers, right? The seller assumes a lot of risk when they take their house off the market by entering into a contract that is contingent upon the buyer selling their home, especially when homes are not selling quickly. So if they do, you'd likely recommend that the seller continue to market the home and accept backup offers. And you might even insist that if a backup offer is received and the buyer is notified that there is a limited time for this contingency to be removed, doing this can bring greater urgency to the closing, to basically closing the transaction and protecting your seller's interest. So often there are other transactions. Be sure you know who they are, what they need to approve, and when they need to approve it. If family members are helping fund the transaction through gifts or co-signing, be sure to meet with them as quickly as possible, preferably before the contract is signed. And any such subject to approvals will need to be specified in the contract and have short timelines. It's even better to make them subject to disapproval. What I mean is this: word the contract such that if approval is not provided in writing by a specific deadline, approval is legally assumed and the transaction can move forward. In many areas, it's either an attorney or a title company that's directly involved in the closing process, usually one for the seller and one for the buyer. You'll need to work directly with them and be sure they get whatever information they need. Just be proactive and get any and all questions answered in a timely fashion. That's the bottom line. Even if those areas where attorneys aren't regularly used, like in Minnesota, where it's a title company, the buyer and seller may want contracts to be reviewed, or you just might need to you might need to know about this. You might need to know what the title company needs to be sure there isn't a delay in the closing process. So, finally, of course, as we talked before, in a shifted market, there'll be short sales or third party sales, relocation, estate, lender. All of those types of things. And so, again, you'll need to take the initiative to be sure that all of those parties get what they need, and they usually need more things. They need it when they need it, and you must facilitate their approval. And in these cases, you'll need to let the buyer know this is happening and the realistic timeline for getting the approvals, because some of these take a little bit longer than others as well. So the best time to get what you need to do is to get all the contact information. You need to do it right away at the beginning, right? If there's other parties to the transaction, you need to get it done as soon as possible. You need to make calls and contacts from contract to closing. You'll need to be urgent to keep these things moving forward and to get everybody everything that they need, right? So here's the other thing. Number five. This is a good conversation to have, because in a shifted market, in a challenging market, one of the other challenges that you will run into or could run into, other than the things we've talked about so far, like the inspection and the appraisal and the mortgage lending and these other contingencies, co-op agent can sometimes become a challenge, right? Let's just say it like it is. Sales is inherently competitive, right? Individuals who work without the safety net of a salary have a good reason to fight for each and every sale, and their livelihood does depend on it. We all get that. What makes real estate sales so remarkable is how amazingly cooperative it can be, though. And yes, we're competitors, but we see the value in working together. Our trade association, local boards, and multiple listing services have evolved into a system of cooperative competition. Call it a co-opetition. In any case, it's an interdependent industry with an amazing range of knowledge, skill, and diligence on display among brokers and agents, and you never know which agent you'll get. One day you'll work with a salesperson with thousands of sales to their credit, and the next you'll introduce yourself to a new agent fresh out of real estate school. So in every transaction, it's just really critical that you carefully assess who you are co-oping with, right? Their experience, their communication ability, their knowledge, and yes, even their ethics. Identify their strengths and know where you might have to carry the load, and vice versa. You're going to be working with them and through them until this transaction gets closed. So you might just as well get things straight up front, right? Once you have a signed and accepted purchase contract, it's time to move from negotiating into cooperating. An initial meeting is essential to lay down the plan, agree on the key deadlines, and assign accountability for each part of the process, or at least have a conversation. You need to insist on this. You need to communicate with your co-op agent. It should feel very cooperative. And very synergistic. And after all, you both have the same goals: a completed closing, earned commissions, and satisfied clients. And after you initially meet or talk on the phone, you'll have a good sense of who you're working with and what you'll have to watch for in the other person as well. If you have some understanding, or if you have a misunderstanding or have given some misinformation to the clients now or during the closing process, you will need to kindly but strongly confront the issue and get the right perspective in place. If they don't budge, you may have to talk to their broker or another agent in their office with whom you have a good working relationship. You cannot let misinformation or wrong advice persist, and it could really blow up in everybody's face. And you want to take the initiative in selecting all the vendors who will support the transaction: lenders, title companies, inspectors, closing companies, and more. So just offer to take care of it. If they want to use someone that you don't trust, express your concern, seek vendors that might fit both of your approval. While you'll need to be the one who is tracking the process, checking on what is getting done and when, and assisting that the right things happen, you are not trying to micromanage the other agent. You need to understand that. They have a job to do, and you need to respect that. But you are going to own the outcome and be accountable to things getting done as they should. On the other hand, you are going to be open, supportive, and respectful. And on the other hand, you're going to be assertive, insistent, and determined. In the end, if they drop the ball or leave you doing most of the work, oh well, it's just part of the game, and you need to get over it. And in a shift, getting transactions closed is far more important to you and your customers than the fact that you might have had to do a little bit more work than normal. So here's the truth. Agents gain a reputation among other agents and among vendors for that matter. The reputation will either serve them in times of need or fail them when they most need someone's help. You want to be in the most trusted and respected agent in your area, the one everyone looks forward to having a co-op agent in their deal. So all your extra work and diligence is bulletproofing and overseeing the transaction will come back to serve you in the long run. Again, it's not about one deal or 1 year. It's about your entire career. So number six, possible challenge, deadlines. Deadlines are called that for a reason. Cross the line and the deal is dead, right? Every real estate sales contract has specific language outlining the dates and the times that must be met. There's no tiptoeing around them. If you miss a deadline, you can put the transaction at risk. You'll adopt the mental set of air traffic controller, right? Even if you only represent one of the parties in the deal, you will want to track all the moving parts, inspections, approvals, funding, closing, occupancy, and any other critical dates for completion. You will be the one who reminds others what they need to do, and by the end, or by when they need to do it, and even if it's already begun, give a copy of the contract and obviously notify them of their responsibilities. Time's not on your side, you guys. You will have to bring urgency and timeliness to the process, especially in a shifted market. This requires being very assertive, with consideration and respect, of course, and reminding others about the consequences of missed deadlines. You will have to be on top of the process and tough-minded about the schedule, and the contract close checklist will be your roadmap to staying on the course and on time. So if you don't have a good contract to close checklist or your assistant doesn't have one, that needs to be a high priority for you. You may decide to add other items and deadlines to the checklist as time goes on as well, so continue to revamp it. There may be specific practices and procedures that are unique to your real estate market. Make sure those are in there. The important point here is to have a checklist that you can share, you can follow, and you can update, and allows you to set expectations with each of the parties to the sale, anticipate issues, communicate in a timely manner, and be sure that everything is moving effectively toward a successful closing. So here's the reality, too, is that you're going to have just a tremendous amount of So those are the top six things, by the way, that you need to look for in any market, by the way, not just in the shifted market, in any market. You are going to have those six issues, and you're going to have to be prepared to deal with those things and find solutions. But as you've noticed in this particular chapter, the point is that if you anticipate that you're going to have those challenges, you just need to be ready for those challenges, and then you will be solving them along the way before they even potentially happen. And that's going to be important for your success in business in general, but it will really, really serve you well as the market changes. So two timeless strategies I want to end with. You can call it buyer's remorse or cold feet or second thoughts or the jitters or whatever you want to call it, right? The reason a transaction falls apart may not be due to any one specific issue. The fact is, it all boils down to fear. So while the six issues I just talked about comprise the critical components in any transaction, an issue may just provide a reluctant buyer an easy way to back out of the deal, right? So emotions often drive home buying decisions, be they going in or getting out. In a shifted market, the decision to buy is complicated by external or subconscious factors such as negative press, the foreclosure reports, and less informed opinions of friends and family. And we've described all this before. Your success is dependent on your ability to keep everyone, buyers, sellers, appraisers, lenders, vendors, etc., on the straight and narrow path to closing. Proactive is better than reactive, and the advantage always goes to the ones who keep their head up and anticipate where everything might go wrong. It's not just a win for you, it's a win for all those involved, particularly sellers and buyers. And going back to ground zero and starting all over again seldom serves the interests of anyone. Your job is to keep everyone's eye on the prize, you guys, a successful, completed, and closed transaction. That's what they wanted and why they started working with you in the first place. There are two timeless strategies that the best professionals use to stay on track and get this to the finish line. Number one, proactive prevention, and number two, early response. The first keeps everyone focused on the positive, intentional, adaptable, certain achievement of the goal. And the second focuses the responsible players, usually the agents and the vendors, on awareness, accountability, problem solving, and the customer-sensitive handling of whatever goes wrong. These are the best tools for fighting the frequently cited law made famous in 1949 by Captain Edward A. Murphy, an engineer at Edwards Air Force. Anything can go wrong, it will, and you've heard that many times before. So take Murphy out of the game and then keep everyone's head in it. And so you just need to make sure that you are being proactive, right? So how do you do that? In a shifting market, you will have to deal with buyer's remorse, seller reluctance, loan processing delays, tight appraisals, tough inspections, and anxiety all around. You must be the calmest person and the calming influence in the transaction. In this famous poem, If, Rudyard Kipling encouraged us to keep your head while all about you are losing theirs, right? So keep your head while all about you, they are losing theirs. It's timeless advice and perfectly applicable to the role you will play in a troubled transaction. Thorough preparation positions you to solve problems quickly, act with calm and confidence, and keep others from losing it. In nearly every situation, it's effective to remind people about the intended results of their decisions and their actions, and this is called outcome framing. And every great salesperson uses this effective technique. It's a very powerful mental skill. Begin with the end in mind, and then constantly keep people in touch with that picture. The anticipation of actually being in that picture, glad they did what they set out to do and enjoying the benefits of it. In times of fear, doubt, or emotional reaction, that picture of the desired outcome can bring them back to sanity and reason. And so if you have this book, you can look on page 265 of the Shift book, and it's going to talk about that proactive prevention, outcome framing, setting expectations, preparing alternatives, and then reassurance. And that's the path, making sure that you are being outcome framing, that you're talking about what is it that you want to achieve and showing them that big picture, keeping their head in the game. Setting expectations, what do we realistically need to consider here? And realistically being the operative term, right? Preparing alternatives, well, what will we do if? Right? So preparing alternatives, let them start thinking about it in advance, and then reassurance. Don't worry, we're on track, we're ahead of the game, and we're doing just fine. You're going to need to outcome frame, set expectations, prepare alternatives, and reassure them throughout the process. So learn that technique, and you will be successful. Let's talk about the early response. That's the second thing. There are very few things that left on their own get better. In fact, there's a scientific law for this truth, right? It's called entropy. So which informally says anything left alone tends to fall apart. Scientists who define this phenomenon surely studied real estate transactions. They must have. In a shifted market, it's basically like natural forces work against themselves, right? So natural forces work against getting to close in any way that just isn't true in a seller's market. So there will be absolutely times that all your proactive prevention was for naught. It's just the reality. You anticipated the issue and did everything in your power to keep the transaction on track, but an issue still comes up and puts the transaction in jeopardy. So the appropriate course of action is then to respond immediately. Early response is to keep things together when they are trying their best to fall apart. So here's what early response looks like. Constant communication. What's happening? How are we doing? Inspecting expectations. So how has it been done? What will we do now? Problem solving, of course. What do we need to do? And how can we get this done? And then contract to close tracking is what is our progress and what's next? People love to know what's next. It keeps them calm. So you need to be constantly telling your people what it is that's coming next, what needs to be done next. So constant communication creates customer confidence. It just does. And that's a great way to think and act at all times. It's important all the way through the selling and buying process, but nowhere is it more so than during the time period from contract to closing. It's a mistake to assume that the buyer and seller knows that you are working to get everything done. Communication should happen on a consistent, predetermined basis, even if there are no problems to discuss or decisions to be made. No news is good news is never an option for a sales professional. There is always more information to glean. A relationship can be deepened and possibly leads to be had. The truth is that both sellers and buyers actually believe that no news is probably bad news. And even if they just believe that no news is simply no news, they're going to feel that they're being treated like nobody, or even worse, that you aren't really doing anything about their deal, that you're just busy working with other people. So constant, consistent communication is the way you can prevent any of these negative thoughts and their troubling outcomes. So this doesn't mean hours and hours of communication. It just means consistent, predictable communication. It's not about spending a lot of time. It's about being timely. If you call them on a regular basis, predictable basis, they will know you are serving them, and it will allow you to be aware of how they are doing, how they are feeling, and what they might be worried about. If there is an issue, being aware of it sooner is better than hearing about it later when it's too late to do anything, right? So when it comes to the work of the vendors and the transactions, accountability is key. You must inspect what you expect, right? They must know that you're paying attention to what they're doing and that you care about it being done on time and right the first time. It's amazing how much faster and better work gets done when someone knows they're being watched, right? So it's important for you to do that. Problem solving is a skill and a process, and you can be a creative person finding alternative ways to get things done, and you can be a catalyst for the creativity of others. Find new ways to solve old problems, creative financing, win-win negotiations, zoning approvals, low-cost repair techniques, et cetera, et cetera. And you can become adept at seeking the expertise and creativity of others. You may even engage your clients in the process, particularly if they're required to approve the final solution, right? People almost always support both plans and ideas that they had a hand in creating. So it's important to understand that. Lastly, before we end this series, I just want to talk about one more thing, and that is playing defense. Forewarned is forearmed, right? The ultimate control issue hasn't changed. You must get the transaction to and through closing. This is what we've been talking about this entire session. You'll do it as a fiduciary service to the clients, and frankly, you'll do it to get paid, right? A downshift in market just complicates the challenge and cranks up the pressure. Typically, follow-throughs or did-not closes can increase from under 5% in a seller's market to well over 25% in a shifted market. And that's not to scare you. That's just a reality. So you need to anticipate problems and proactively take the steps that will prevent anything from sabotaging the deal. If finding the motivated getting to the table and creating urgency represent playing offense in the game of real estate sales, then bulletproofing the transaction is about playing defense. You take charge occasionally. You will even need to be a bit pushy in protecting your client's welfare and your transaction. If you play it right, there won't be that many surprises, and you'll catch things early, even before the problems occur, and certainly before they put the closing at risk. And the procedures you put in place will serve you in every market. They are always the right things to do. But in a downshifted market, they can make an even bigger difference, a difference of whether or not you get paid for your work. And in the long term, your professional fail-safe systems establish you as a reliable, trustworthy, competent professional that gets things done right and on time. And that kind of reputation means money in your pocket, a career worth having, and a business that is not only growing but absolutely worth owning. And the real estate business game really has a beginning and an end. Both are critical to our success, right? At the beginning, you must lead generate for sellers and buyers, convert these leads to appointments, and then bring about a meeting of the minds, accepted purchase offer contract. In the end, we must get that contract and all the involved parties to a satisfactory closing. The first part is the hard focus work of making connections and achieving agreements. It's heads down. The second part is the wide-eyed guardianship of the transaction until it makes it to a closing. It's heads up. So forever remember this truth about our profession. We do our deals heads down, but we save our deals heads up. So I'm so happy that you sat through another session of Coaching with Carrie here on Blog Talk Radio as we're finishing up this coaching series about the book Shift, How Top Real Estate Agents Tackle Tough Times. There's only going to be one more session of it, actually, and we're going to talk about kind of just wrapping up everything that we've discussed in this series. We're going to call it The Gift of Shift is going to be my next series. That's next Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time again, and it's going to talk about how successful people shift, right, and how we all can do this and what we need to be aware of as the market changes. Again, there's going to be economic changes. There's going to be shifts in the market. There's going to be seasonal changes, and so we're going to wrap up this coaching series next Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, and then we're going to be moving on to some more Coaching with Carrie sessions, and I'm excited to get underway. So thanks again so much for following me here as well as on social media. I greatly appreciate it. Don't forget that every single month I provide multiple blogs that should help you in your business, help you in your real estate business or any kind of business that you're growing. I talk a lot about marketing, social media, and other techniques that are going to help you get more clients and have a successful business. All you need to do is like my Facebook page, which is Coaching with Carrie right on Facebook, and you'll be able to see all of those blogs on a regular basis. Thanks again, you guys. Reach out to me if you need a copy of this book or any other one. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Have fun with family and friends. Have some productivity as well. And I look forward to here at 11 a.m. next Friday. Talk to you soon.